guard.
Attend.
Huh. Horn. Oh. Half right. Hey. Ready. Hey.
President of the United States, grateful nation, and the Secretary of Defense for the honorable and faithful military service performed by your husband, we present you with this flag.
The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good morning. My name is Richard Holdeman and I'm the pastor of the Bloomington Reformed Presbyterian Church. And it's my privilege to be officiating at this service along with Adam Neese. Adam's the pastor of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Lafayette and was formerly in our church here in Bloomington and was a dear friend and a pastor to Glenn and to Andy. So we're thankful Adam's able to come down and join us this morning. On behalf of Andy and the rest of the family, I want to thank all of you for coming here, and they really appreciate your support and being a part of remembering Glenn's life. It is our task this morning to bury Glenn's body. Glenn is no longer here, and we can be thankful for that, but Glenn's body does need to be remembered. His life needs to be remembered, and we want to look not only at the life that he lived, but also the promises of God's word that are so precious to us at this time. So with that said, why don't we begin with prayer, and then we'll start our service. Heavenly Father, our hearts are heavy as we come to say goodbye to a loved one, a man who was a unique character and had some tremendous contributions that he made to our country and to our various communities. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us during this time, that you would give comfort from your word, your Holy Spirit would minister your grace to us, and Lord, that we would hear through your word the precious promises that you have for those who die in Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would be present with us now and guide all that we do and help it to be honoring in your sight. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Clarence Glenn Sparks was born on July 26, 1926, in Smithville, Indiana. He was one of two siblings born to Clarence Glenn Sparks Sr. and Hester Wampler Sparks. Glenn grew up here in Bloomington and graduated from Bloomington High School and then joined the U.S. Army in 1944 when he was not yet 18 years old. He served with distinction in the European theater of the war, of World War II, and was awarded a Purple Heart as well as a Bronze Star. After being discharged from the Army, Glenn continued to work for the government for many years. Part of what he was doing was tracking former Nazis who had scattered in various places in the Western Hemisphere. Glenn also worked as an American Kennel Club dog handler for a time. He was a salesman for an aerial photography company. And I remember well when I first met him, he had lots of pictures of people's farms all over the place and picture frames stacked everywhere. He lived in Indianapolis for a time after the war, where he met and later married Andy. They were married on the island of Maui in Hawaii in April of 1997 and have been married for nearly 21 years. Glenn and Andy relocated to this area in 2007, first moving to Ellettsville and then over to Bloomington, and they were active members of the Bloomington Reformed Presbyterian Church for the last couple of years. Glenn was preceded in death by his parents and his sister. He leaves behind a daughter and a granddaughter from a previous marriage, three stepchildren and seven step-grandchildren, as well as other relatives, and we're glad that many of you are able to be here with us this morning. To say that Glenn was a unique character does not begin to cover it all. Certainly Glenn had his faults, but there are some very positive, many positive things about his life, and I want to spend a few minutes just talking about a few of those that I think are an encouragement to us. The first one is the way Glenn loved his wife. When Glenn showed up at our church with Andy a few years ago, he'd been gone for 70 years, and I think he really expected that we would all remember him. There was at least one man in our congregation who remembered him, but Glenn had gone off to the war in the 1940s, and the church had decided, I think after about 30 years, maybe they would just drop him from the rolls. So, well, he came back a full 70 years later, and no one had heard of him in the meantime. He was a little miffed at us, I think, that we dropped him from the rolls in that time. But it was great to get reacquainted with him, and one of the things that was so striking was how much he doted on Andy, how much he loved her, how much he cared for her, and that was just so very clear. And I think as Glenn's own health failed and as he was dealing with the challenges of aging, to see him trying to defer to his wife and to care for her was really quite a testimony to his love for her. He also loved to talk about the trips that they had taken early on in their married life and to talk about what a great wife Andy was. And you could just see in him a true love for his wife, and that was a blessing. In addition to loving his wife, Glenn loved his country. And that was displayed in many ways, one being just that he lied about his age. Well, I'm not sure if he lied or the recruiter helped him exactly, but he got into the war, he got into the Army when he was not yet 18. He joined and was in training and was deployed kind of right after D-Day, and he took his training very seriously. So he went so far as to what he was traveling over to France on the troop transport ship to learn German just on his own, and he thought that that might be a help to him. It turned out to be a very significant help to him in the war. Part of what Glenn did was he served as a scout, was actually dropped from low-flying airplanes late at night, in the middle of the night, in the dark, sometimes in a German uniform. His German skills were so good. Then he would have the job of trying to put flares around bombing targets, and then light the flares and get out of the way before the bombs started falling. And of course he would have to then come back and cross enemy lines from the backside to get back onto into his own camp. And he used his German language skills to do that without being discovered. Glenn's unit fought across the famous Siegfried Line on its way back into Germany then, as the Allied forces were retaking land. And that's some of the highest casualties in the entire war. The U.S. troops were crossing the Siegfried Line. His unit was the one that liberated the Dachau concentration camp. And with his knowledge of German, Glenn was actually accompanied prisoners from the camp into the city of Dachau to try to identify prison guards who had kind of just left the camp when the Allies came in and liberated it and were trying to blend in the town. And so Glenn was there involved in trying to identify the Nazi guards. And even after the war, continued to serve the country for many years, trying to track former Nazis in their activities. In his later years, you would all know, Glenn liked to tell stories about the war, and it's no secret that Glenn was not totally happy with the things going on in our country today, and he made that known. But I really felt like that always came out of a place of deep love and concern for his country. And so he not only loved his wife, he loved his country. And I would say thirdly that I saw in Glenn a love for his church as well. Glenn grew up in Bloomington and was a hard worker. At the age of 12, he began washing dishes at his dad's bar. He stocked shelves at the downtown Burris grocery store on the square. He mowed yards, and he lived right across the street from our church. So even though his parents didn't attend the church and didn't take him to church, he on his own came to the church and eventually became a member and was a part of the congregation until he left for the war. And when he eventually came back years later, I didn't know him before, but he seemed to me to be somewhat of a changed man, and his interest in the things of God was different, his desire to be a part of the church. And that was really incredible, realizing the falls that he endured, the injuries he endured, and other things. His effort to be at church, if he was able to, was really profound. He would show up sometimes with, a bruise on his face or a bandage on his head, but he was not going to let anything stop him from coming to church. And even after Glenn and Andy moved back up to Indianapolis, he wanted to come down and be a part of the congregation. He kept fighting right into the end. And in fact, I think part of his decision to have a heart surgery, which was a bit of a risk, was partly because he wasn't prepared to give up. Even at 91 years of age, he wasn't going to quit. And we know Glenn was not a perfect man by a long shot, but he was a wonderful example to us in his love for his wife, his love for his country, his love for his church. And we can thank God for those attributes of Glenn. And so Pastor Adam's now going to come and share a little bit from God's Word. We look to God's Word for the hope that it gives us in times like these.
I was laughing at a lot of those stories because I could identify with all of them, as I'm sure many of you could as well. In the past 3 or 4 years, I've spent many, many hours with Glenn and Andy in hospital rooms, but most of all in their living room, which was not far from my house, and listening to all kinds of stories from the past, and talking about dogs, and talking about showing horses, and what's wrong with the country today, and yet, as has already been said, if you looked on their wall, there was a big picture of the congregation in their living room, which always stood out to me. And Glenn was happy to have that there. But Andy, it's an honor to be here today. You know, we love you and we're all grieving with you. Let's look at the Lord. As believers, we grieve, certainly, but we don't have to grieve without hope. And that's what I want us to think about today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, where we read, here the Apostle Paul's writing to the Thessalonian church, and he says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And four brief things I want us to consider from this passage this morning. The first thing is that we can know what happens to believers in Christ when they die. And that's a significant point. So verse 13 again says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." And here he's not saying that people who die have literally fallen asleep and they're sleeping in the ground, but he's saying that speaking of death here, asleep is death. And he says here, "I don't want you to be ignorant," because at the time, the believers in Thessalonica long ago were concerned, what happens to our loved ones who are believers in Jesus and yet die before Jesus comes back? which the Bible says he will at the end of the age. And so do they miss out on all the blessings that are to come? Do they miss out on eternal life and on the salvation that Jesus gives? And Paul says, well, he wants to write to them, he does write to them, to give them the information they need so that they can make sense of the death of their loved ones. What has happened? And have they missed out or have they not? He does not want them to be ignorant and without knowledge anymore. And before we look at what he goes on to say, that's a significant point. We live in a day and age where there are so many ideas out there, so many guesses. What happens? Is this the end of the road? Is there something else? What is the something else? And yet we don't have to guess. The Bible tells us quite clearly. This is just one example. So as we think of Glenn and his passing from this life, we can know what has happened to him. We can know where he is today. We don't need to guess. God has told us. And what he's told us is that those who love the Lord Jesus Christ go directly to be with the Lord Jesus Christ at death. And that's the second thing for us to notice. So verse 14, he goes on to say, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So what he's saying here is that when Jesus comes back at the end of the age to usher in the new heavens and the earth, he will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. In other words, all the Christians who have died before Jesus comes back will come back with Jesus when he returns. So what does that tell us then, but that they are with Jesus in the meantime? Right? They're already with him, and so they will come back. Paul says elsewhere in 2 Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this means then that while Glenn's body will go into the ground today, Glenn's not in the casket right now. It's his body that's in the casket. And as one who loved the Lord Jesus, we can know that by God's grace, Glenn is in heaven. As one who loved the Lord. So as we think of that, and this is true for all believers. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, at death we go to where our hearts work perfectly. We go to where our minds are always sharp and clear. We go to where our feet don't hurt, where we don't have scars from issues from war injuries and so forth. Most of all, where there's no sin, but where there's righteousness in ourselves and in everywhere around us because we're with Jesus who is righteous. So as we think of death today, we can know that for those who die in Jesus, there is the fullness of joy. We are the losers on this day, not the person who has died as a believer in Christ. And so we have to remember that through faith in Jesus, again, Glenn has gained the greatest prize of all because he knew Jesus and loved Jesus. Well, the third thing that Paul tells us here is that believers in Jesus today can look forward to being with our fellow believers in Jesus in the future. In heaven. So he goes on in verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." So Paul says now at the second coming, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a reunion. There's really going to be two reunions that take place. One is the believing souls that are coming back with Jesus will be reunited with their bodies raised from the dead. And the new and perfected bodies. But then he says there's also a reunion of all believers of all time throughout history at that point. That's a They who are alive at the time of Christ's return, as well as all who have died in Christ before that, will go together to be with the Lord in heaven forever. And so that means there will be a day when all of God's people will be together with God in heaven. And this includes us today if we're believers in Jesus Christ. Now, the day will come when we will join Glenn and everyone else who is called on the name of Christ for salvation in heaven. And again, that's because of the grace of God to us. It's not because we are special. It's not because Glenn was special. It's already been said. Glenn was an imperfect man. And we all knew that, as we are all imperfect people. But by grace and through faith in Christ, there is this life and eternal life. And so the final thing for us to realize briefly is just that this knowledge is designed to give us hope and comfort in the midst of our grief. And so he says, verse 13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So everyone sorrows at death. Everyone is grieving. But for the Christians, we don't have to sorrow without hope. We don't have to despair. We don't have to wallow in self-pity. But we can have a confidence and an expectation that believers go to be with Jesus. And we can be comforted by that. As he ends in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. And so, Andy, this is what you need to remember. As you mourn the loss of your husband, right? Those who love Jesus go to be with Jesus. And those who love Jesus today go to be with Jesus and with everyone else who's loved Jesus. Right? And that is to be a comfort to us. That we can cry and we can be sad, but we can have hope and confidence that the Lord is merciful and he saves all who call on his Son by faith. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for giving us this truth, and we do pray that you'd help us to believe it. We ask that you would be comforting Andy especially, but everyone else who's mourning the loss of Glenn today. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to find the comfort that there is to be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that if there are any here this morning who don't yet know you, that you would be calling them to yourself, that as we anticipate the day, it'll be our body in the casket, that we would be ready to meet with you. So, Lord, minister your word to us and have mercy upon us. Give your grace to us all, we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
Now we want to commit Glenn's body to the ground in the hope of the resurrection that Adam was just speaking about. So hear these words of comfort from God's word. This first section is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then from the book of Revelation. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For as much as it has pleased God in his wise providence to take out of this world the soul of Clarence Glenn Sparks, Jr., we therefore commit his body to the ground, looking for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come through our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose coming in glory the earth and the sea shall give up their dead, and the mortal bodies of those who sleep in him shall be changed, and made like unto his own glorious body, according to the mighty work by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the promises of your word that tell us that death is not the final answer. It's not the final word. And Lord, we pray now that you would receive Glenn's body into the earth as it would decay, in the hope that it would be united to his spirit and raised imperishable on that great day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so, Lord, we commit this body to the grave in the hope of the resurrection. We do so in the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only King and Lord of the church and the universe. And we pray, Lord, for the comfort that comes in this hope, that you might bless Andy and all the family and friends with strength and grace to hope in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for his work on our behalf. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.